Now, some of you may wonder what I'm doing going over there. I got my laptop computer and I'm recording these messages directly into it. And you may say, why would I do that? Because I have a radio ministry. We're on about 3 stations now in LaGrange, have been for years. Looking probably in the next couple of weeks going to expand into the Roanoke and Lynchburg, Virginia areas. Also, we put these sermons up on our website, freshfireministries.com, if you have a computer. And you can listen to them there. And I was telling somebody this morning, the technology is wonderful. You can take a sermon recorded in Reynolds, Georgia, put it up on the internet, and somebody in Africa or Canada or Australia or your next door neighbor can listen to it. Amen. Amazing, ain't it, what God can do. So that's what I'm doing. That's not because I'm stuck on myself and like to hear myself preach, but just to go and do the further ministry is why I'm doing that. So I wanted you to understand that. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of John, the 4th chapter, I'm going to start reading with verse 1. And I'm not going to read much of this story because I know that you're familiar with this story in all likelihood. And we'll just read a portion of it. John chapter 4, starting with verse 1, I'd ask you to stand when you find that scripture in honor and respect to the reading of God's Word. John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And that's about as far as I'm going to read with that. So you look to me, with me to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be back in your house tonight with your people. And I pray, Father, in these next few moments, God, that you'd just use me however you see fit, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that you'd make me a funnel. God, that you might just simply pour your blessings through me, Lord, that we might all receive here tonight. Now, Lord, you know what we stand in need of. You know our uprising, our downfalling, and all there is to know about us.
Yes,
and I pray, God, that you'd speak to us where we need to hear, Lord. Yes. If there be those here tonight, Lord, who do not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that this would be the night, Lord, that you'd touch their heart, change their life. Father, perhaps those who've maybe just grown a little cold and indifferent, or maybe have more questions than they do answers about life, God, I pray, Father, you'd speak to their heart, touch their lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Pray for revival for this church, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd move upon the hearts and lives of the people that make this congregation. And Lord, send revival. And God, again, I ask for that anointing that comes only from you to do what I know you've called me to do, to preach this blessed gospel. And I ask these things in your name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. At best, now see if you'll agree with this statement. At best, life itself is nothing more than just a series of what I call little moments. It's the little moments. Seldom do the big moments in life make the greatest impact upon our lives. Rather, it is the little moments. Life's little moments. Now I want you to know tonight that the secret for personal and corporate revival is learning not to miss those little moments in life. Now, sometimes we just get so busy. Ain't none of y'all like that, are you? Sometimes we get so busy and life is running so hectic that we forget to enjoy life while we're going through life.
Amen.
Amen. How sad it would be to come to the end of life's way and have missed the joy of life while going through it.
Amen.
Amen. And it's the little moments. Now, most likely, revival won't come this week as a result of some cataclysmic event that will happen here this week. Now, how'd y'all like that 50-cent word I used? I don't know but two or three of them, so I've used one, so I got about two more before the week's over. But revival will start as a little moment between somebody and God. And then it'll go from them to the next one and to the next one and the next one. And first thing you know, you'll have revival.
Amen.
Because people are paying attention and are not missing the little moments. And I call them the Jesus moments of our life. And we need to learn to inhale them and to drink them in, to absorb them and to relish them and then use them for God.
Amen.
Now, in this text scripture I've read today, we see a picture of Jesus who was the master of life's little moments. He could take whatever situation that those disciples were in, and he would teach them a lesson out of it, out of life's little moments. And we see him modeling the usage of one of those little moments to change the life of a Samaritan woman and then a whole city. Now, if you will look at that story closely, you will see that it was almost as if Jesus didn't even plan it. It looked like one of life's little moments. Now, if you didn't have, I believe it was the fourth verse where it said, where Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, you wouldn't even really know that Jesus had planned this whole event out. But you see, he had an appointment with that woman. But now put yourself in the position of the woman. Here she walks up in the middle of the day. If you'll study your Bible, you'll find that wasn't that time of day that they normally went to draw water. But she was a woman of the world, and she was rejected by society. So she went at a time when she would not be criticized or ostracized. But she went, and she was coming to draw water. And what happened? She just happened to encounter Jesus sitting there on the well side, right? Just happened to. I don't think so. Lord had planned this little moment years in advance. He had said in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, and we go a little bit further on this. Now, I want you to see this. It looked like life, one of life's little moments there on that well curve. How many of you know that Jesus doesn't miss the little moments of our lives?
Amen.
Jesus always shows up right on time. Even when we think he's late, he's on time. And for just a little while, if you'll indulge me tonight, I want to talk about some little moments in my life. Things that I have experienced. Things that I have grasped hold of. Not long ago, I was sitting in an associational missionaries meeting, which that's the fancy title they've given me. You can take that and 50 cents and get you a cup of coffee, probably. Or maybe 75 now. Probably couldn't even take 50 cents and get a cup of coffee. But I was sitting in a meeting, and there were a bunch of us in that meeting, and our executive director, Dr. J. Robert White, was to address that crowd that evening. And I was on the leadership team that had gotten him to come. And usually when he comes, you know how these denominational leaders are. They want to give you reports and tell you everything about everything. But we talked to him before he got there. And I said, now, Dr. White, we don't want you to come give a bunch of reports. We want you to just come preach to us.
Amen.
And he came to preach that night. And you could tell when he walked through the door that God had him hemmed up.
Amen.
You could tell that the Spirit of God was all over him. And he stood there and looked in the eyes of that bunch of missionaries that was there. And he began to tell a story. And he said, I remember back when I was pastoring at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Carrollton, Georgia. He said, I had just finished my day and was leaving the church about 5:30. And he said, as I walked down the sidewalk toward the car, he said, another car came by on the street, and they blowed the horn and throwed the hand up at me. And he said, in that car was some of my members who had not been there for a while. The lady was driving. And he said, he thought to himself, he said, you know, it's been several weeks since they've been in church. He said, I need to go visit them right now. Now, the rest of the story is that the gentleman, the husband, had been in the hospital, had had surgery, and it had just been several weeks since they'd been to church. He said, I thought, right now, I need to go see them. And then he began to think, and he said, well, no, my wife, Janice, will have supper ready. And he said, I know she's worked hard preparing that. And he said, and I don't want to offend her. And he said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll go home, and I'll eat supper, and then after supper, I'll go visit them. Tears began to back up in his eyes. And he said, gentlemen, he said, I finished eating that supper. And he said, I no sooner finished and slid my chair back than my phone rang. And the voice on the other end of the phone told me that that gentleman had just very unexpectedly died. And as tears ran down his cheek, he looked at us and this is what he said. He said, gentlemen, I missed the moment. I missed the moment. And then he looked at us and said, please, don't be guilty of missing life's little moments. The more I begin to think about that, you know, if I had my life to live over again, there'd probably be some things I'd change, folks.
Amen.
You know, I'd probably be the husband that I should have been. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
I'd probably been the father I should have been.
Amen.
And I'd probably be the friend that I'd want somebody to be a friend like.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, sometimes I got so caught up winning a world for Jesus and doing Jesus' work that I missed the little moments in my life.
Amen.
Jesus never missed the little moments. He made a ministry out of the little moments. Let me tell you some things that's happened to me in my life. I was pastoring in my first church, Flat Shoals Baptist Church, West Point, Georgia. Boy, back then I was 21. Then how old I was? 23 when we started there. I tell you what, those folks in that church had grandchildren older than me and my wife were. And Brother Perry, we was the pastor and the pastor's wife. But buddy, we knew it all back then.
Amen.
You know, they sometimes today folks will ask me a question, I'll tell them, I say, I wish you'd ask me that question back when I had my first pastor. Because I had all the answers back then.
Amen.
Hey, I still got all the answers. They just want nobody to ask me the questions. Amen. But listen, folks. I was in that church, and it wasn't long till we started a visitation program. And in that visitation program, I ran across this little saintly lady. She was probably in her 70s then. And she was just a dear saint of God, but she wasn't even a member of the church. But because of her age and her health, she couldn't go to the church. She might have gotten to go once or twice the whole time I was there. But she and I, now picture this in your mind, a 23-year-old wet behind the ears preacher boy and a 70-something-year-old saint of God. And it didn't take long, Brother Perry. We made a fast friendship.
Amen.
And she'd got to where she'd brag on me and she'd stroke my ego and she'd tell me how good a preacher I was and all of this. And Lord, let me tell y'all something. It didn't take but a few weeks of that until I went out of my way to make sure that I visited her, because I could go in feeling the terrible, having the weight of the world on me. And time that old woman got through with me, I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Amen. I liked going to see her. Well, there come a day, though, she had to have surgery. And she told me, said, I want you to be there. And I said, okay, I'll be there, no problem. So I was there, had prayer with her before they took her back to the surgery. And the little town we were in, the hospital, the recovery room, and the intensive care unit doubled as the same room. I mean, one big, large open area, but it was recovery, and it was intensive care. Now, I was sitting out in the waiting room, and it wasn't too long. One of the nurses come out and said, Reverend McCullough, said, and her name was Mrs. Cotton, said, Mrs. Cotton has come through her surgery fine. She's in recovery. And this is what the nurse said, and she's calling for you. She says she's got something she wants to tell you. I said, okay. So I got up with the nurse and began to walk back there. And another nurse met us at the door, and she looked at me and said, Mr. McCullough, you'll have to wait a little while. Said, we are having an emergency with somebody in the intensive care side, and you can't come back until we finish with that. I want you folks to know something. Listen to me. In just a few short moments it took for them to deal with that emergency, my friend aspirated and died. I never got to know what she wanted to tell me. I missed that moment.
Amen.
I'll never know in this life what she wanted to tell me. And I want y'all to hear me say something tonight. I can still remember how horrible I felt.
Amen.
I felt as if I'd done something wrong, when I know in my heart I didn't. But it doesn't change the fact that I missed that moment.
Amen.
Life, at best, is just a series of little moments. And my encouragement to you tonight, I'm not going to preach a deep theological message tonight. I'm not going to get on your heart and toes tonight. Come back tomorrow night and I'll do that. But I just want to share with you this thought. Don't miss life's little moments.
Amen.
Now, I didn't miss them all, though. There was a few of them, Brother Perry.
Amen.
You know, a blind pig will find an acorn if he roots around long enough.
Amen.
Amen. I did make a few of life's little moments.
Amen.
One of them was with my son, our oldest son. He will be 30 in July. I don't look old enough to have a 30-year-old son, do I? Everybody go. Ain't nobody shaking their head. What, y'all ain't gonna lie in the church, are you? I hear you. I don't look old enough to have 4 grandchildren either, do I? Everybody just sitting there. Okay, idiot, get off of it. Okay, I will. But you know what? When our son was growing up, he loved baseball. And he was good at it. He was very good at it. And he played the infield on all the, until he could play T-ball all the way up. And Lord, ain't T-ball a wonderful thing? Have you ever been to a T-ball game? If you want to laugh, go to a T-ball game. But there come a time he got up into the upper leagues, and he was probably 8 or 10 years old, somewhere in there. And this was the league where they started pitching. It wasn't coach pitch, it was above that. And he was a pitcher, and if he wasn't pitching, he was playing in the infield. So Brother Perry, I'd take him out in the front yard every day when I got off work. And we'd go through game situations. I'd tell him, runner on first and second, 2 outs, and I'd hit the ball to him if he was playing shortstop. And I'd say, now tell me what you're going to do when you feel that ball. And he'd tell me. And we'd work infield practice for a while. And then I would put him to pitching, and I'd get down catching. And this is what I'd tell him. I'd say, throw it to the glove, son. Throw it to the glove. And he was good. Sometimes it'd go over my head or in front of me or side of me, but I'd keep telling him, that's what we had, just drill in him. Throw it to the glove. Throw it to the glove. I told you he was good. Now I got something I'm going to give you on this. I know y'all saying, where's he going with that? Hang on. I'm talking about one of life's little moments. He was in that league and they came down to the last game of the season. If they won, they went to All-Stars. If they lost, they went home. The coach told our son, you're pitching tonight. It's your game. They only played 6 innings in that game, or that league. top of the sixth going into the bottom of the sixth. Or top of the sixth. They were the head 1-0. All he had to do was get 3 outs. And they would be the champions. They would win. My son walked out onto the pitcher's mound and promptly walked the bases loaded with no outs. The coach walked out to the mound and told him, he says, "It's your game to win or lose." He said, "I'm not pulling you. I'm going with you. It's yours to win or lose." We were sitting, Brother Perry, in the metal bleachers. The crowd was going wild. My wife was going wild. And Brother Perry, I don't know why she told me this, and I'll never forget it. But she looked at me and with panic like a deer caught in the headlights as only a mother could do. And she looked at me and said, "Well, don't just sit there. Do something." And I said, "What am I going to do? He's pitching." But I'll tell y'all something. I got out of those stands and walked up to the third base side fence, put my arms up on the fence, and called his name, said, "Son, listen to me. Listen to me." I said, "We're out in the front yard. None of these people are here. Tune them all out." Said, "You've got it in you. You know how to do it." I said, "Now throw it to the glove." Folks, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all know what that little joker did? Struck the side out.
Hey.
Amen. You know what? Brother Wainwright, at that point in time, he was my child. Amen. My wife had nothing to do with him. I birthed him. I gave birth. He was mine. 100%. My boy struck the side out. You know what? Why did I say that? Because that's one of life's little moments.
Amen.
That I did not miss. I'll take it to my grave with me. He'll take it to his grave with him. My wife will take it to her grave with her. You know, she done some tall praying that afternoon. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
But it was one of those little moments that either you get it or you miss it. You know, there's a funny thing about life. Are you listening? It doesn't have a rewind button. You can only understand life looking backward. That's the only way you can understand it, when you look back on it. But it has to be lived going forward.
Amen.
There's no rewinds. I remember another time, many times, in fact, with my 2 daughters. We have 2 daughters. And y'all can look at me and tell I'm a rather large person. 6'5". Y'all waiting, ain't you? 200 pounds of lean, mean preaching machine. Amen. I'm just a little fluffy. Don't you love fluffy people? Amen. You know, I'm not going to get far into this, but we had airbags in our cars back in the 1960s and 70s. We had airbags. It was Mama's arm. That fluffy stuff would hang down. You know, she'd go up. I ain't going there. But I can remember coming home damn many, many days. And you know what? I'd come in to my little girls, be playing tea party, be playing house. Brother Wainwright, this big old boy, get right down in the middle of the floor with them girls.
Amen.
And I've had make-believe tea any way it can be served. Amen. And I'm thankful that I was the most honored guest at my girls' tea parties.
Amen.
And I didn't miss those moments. And you know what they blessed me with? Both of them. Now, I've got 3 grandchildren through those 2 girls, and 1 through my son. We got 4 total. But both of those girls now understand, and I'm going to try to be delicate here, but when my babies were coming along, Daddy stayed out in the waiting room. Amen. Some of you guys go, hoorah, yeah. Well, a man ought to be out in the waiting room. But when my babies started having babies, they wanted Pawpaw in there with them. And I got to see that blessed event. They wanted Daddy, the most honored guest at their tea parties. I was the most honored guest when my grandbabies arrived into this world. And I'll just say this and move on. Things happen to me that don't happen to other folks, and you'll know this before the week's over. When my last one was born, my first grandboy, I was in the room, and you see, the grandpa is the official prayer, encourager, get her on to her, and photographer. Now, I had a saying with my girls, I didn't cut them no slack, and boys either. They go to whining about something when they was kids. I say, you just suck it up and go. Quit that whining, just suck it up and go. And I was in there with my first daughter having her first child, and she let out a grunt, and I said, just suck it up and go. I don't want to hear that. And somebody asked her afterwards, how come you wasn't hollering and screaming? She said, you don't understand. My daddy was in there, and he told me to suck it up and go. And I had to suck it up and go. You know, when the boy was born, I had the camcorder, Brother Perry. And by the time they went to cut the cord, the battery fell off in the floor. I said, hold it, Doc, wait a minute. And I reached down and picked up the battery. And she said, Mr. McCullough, you should have planned this better. You know what? All of these are little moments in life that I haven't missed. And I'm glad I didn't miss them.
Amen.
You know what? We have an adopted son. We got him when he was 8 years old. I remember when he came into our house. He had everything he owned in a paper sack. And I can still see him in my mind as he sat there that first night. And he was in that big old chair and his little feet didn't come nowhere near the floor. And he was so pitiful, clutching that little paper sack that had everything he owned in life with him. After we kind of got settled in a little bit, we decided we'd go get a movie to watch. And we told him, I remember it distinctly, we were walking across the parking lot going into the movie rental house. And we told him, said, son, you need to decide what you're going to call us. Said, you can call us Mr. and Miss McCullough, or you can call us Mom and Dad, or whatever you want to. Said, you just can't call us by our first name. That's the only thing you can't do. We were walking across that parking lot, and he stopped and looked at both of us and said, I think I'll call you Mama and Daddy.
Amen.
All right. You know, that's been many, many years ago. He was the first and last of the foster children we ever kept and adopted. And he was the engine in the caboose. And he's still with us. He's 26 years old. 28, 26, something like that. And you know what? Fireman, EMT, life's good for him. But you know what? I'm glad I had a little moment in that.
Amen.
Glad I had one of life's little moments there. Let me tell you some more. And I'm going somewhere with all of this. When I was about 18 years old, I was standing in front of Bethel Chapel Baptist Church in LaGrange, Georgia, about like I am now up in the pulpit area. Had a bass guitar strapped across my shoulder. I was a youth back then. That's a long time ago. Amen. I was a youth. And we were doing a Christmas play, and we needed a pianist, and my wife plays the piano, and she wasn't a member of the church, and some girl said, I know somebody will play, I'll go get her, and she lived close by and went and got her. Brother Perry, I was standing up there, and my heart stood still when she walked through that back door, and I saw her for the very first time.
Amen.
I said, woo! Y'all ever seen the movie Bambi? I was like old Thumper. I got all Twitter pated, amen. And I saw her, and I punched my buddy, and I said, who is she? He said, I don't know. And I said, I don't either, but I'm going to get a date with her. And I later discovered that she was checking me out, too.
Amen.
She asked her girlfriend, said, who is that fine specimen of a hunk of a man up there? Well, maybe she didn't ask it that way, but she was checking me out. And I'm telling y'all, things happen to me that don't happen to ordinary people. I went to pick her up on our first date. Her mother was a Pentecostal fire-baptized holiness woman. You don't get no more holiness than that. She would shout at the drop of a hat. And sometimes she'd throw the hat down just so she could shout a little while. Amen. But she wasn't supposed to have a TV, but Mary Ann's daddy wasn't Pentecostal, so he had a TV, so therefore Mrs. Hale had a loophole to have a TV. And she loved watching wrestling on TV. Fred Ward wrestling out of Columbus, Georgia. Y'all will remember that, I'm sure. Amen. And when I went to pick my wife up on our first date, it was evidently a warm day in December because she just had the screen door pulled to and the other door was open. And I knocked on the door and she was all into that wrestling and she never even looked up from the TV. She just said, come in. And I walked through the door. She was sitting on the end of the couch. And I kind of stood there and after a moment or two, she kind of did this number. She was looking at TV, looked up at me, looked back at the TV, then all of a sudden did a double take and looked back up at me. Threw both hands up in the air. If I'm like Wendy Bagwell, if I'm a lion, I'm a dime. This happened. She threw both hands up in the air and started shouting. And she said, well, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And she looked at me and said, you're the one. And I'm backpedaling. And I said, ma'am, I'm the one what? And she said, you're the one that's going to marry my daughter. Said, God has already shown you to me. I said, no. I said, I'm just here to date your daughter. No marriage. Let me tell y'all something. 6 months later, we were walking down the aisle. And they were playing that music. Num, 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 num. You know, I finally figured out the words to that song, that wedding march. You know what the words to that song are? Dum, 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 dum. No, oh, no, it ain't. No, it ain't. But you know what? I didn't have mother-in-law problems like most guys do. Mine would have kept me and threw her away. But you know what? I'm glad that I didn't miss that little moment. And there's been many, many, many of life's little moments that I could talk to you about tonight. But let me tell you about the greatest of those little moments. And I'm going to do this as I'm wrapping it up. And I'm going to be good to you tonight. Not going to hold you long. Not going to give you the whole dump truck load tonight. I'm going to spread it out over the next 3 nights. Oh, it's a coming. It's a coming. I'm just being good to you tonight. But let me tell you something. I talked about that little church, Bethel Chapel. And I probably told y'all this before when I was here before. I don't remember. But if I have, you probably forgot it and I won't tell it again anyway. So just, it'd be good, won't it? But you know what? I was raised in a traditional Baptist church. Real quiet. Nobody got emotional. Nobody spoke out. It was hushed tones because you had to be reverent in the sanctuary. And I later discovered, you know, what's this sanctuary business? You know how Webster defines sanctuary? A place where birds dwell. Well, maybe it is a sanctuary. Amen. Well, I'm running to a lot of birds. And a lot. That's another sermon for another day. But nobody said anything. Nobody said amen. Nobody said praise the Lord. It was just quiet. That's the way I was raised. That's the way I thought everybody did church. But about the time I turned 16 years old, around 15 to 16, you see, now I could have got a 9-month perfect attendance award when I was born, Sunday school. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. I was raised in church. As long as I can remember back, my mama was a pianist, organist, Sunday school teacher. Daddy was a deacon at that church. I don't ever remember them not being a part of that church. But as they poured the Bible and the things that into me in my formative years, there came a time about 15 years old that I went 180 degrees away from that. I rebelled just as hard as I could rebel for a period of about 3 years in my life. I got into everything you get into. I mean, drugs, you name it. I know I'm not bragging on that. I'm not giving the devil credit for that. But I'm just telling you what had happened. I was part of a house band in a nightclub in LaGrange. You say, that young? Oh, yeah, that young. I was good. They needed somebody, and I was there. Come a Sunday afternoon that we were going to practice this band that I was in. And for whatever the reason, my bass guitar amplifier was tore up. And I needed one. And I called old fellow and I said, can I borrow your bass guitar amplifier this afternoon? He said, yeah, if you'll go to church with me tonight. Well, I had no intention of going to church with him that night. I was going to lie to him, get his amplifier, and then he could just, you know, go do whatever he wanted to do. But I'd have what I wanted by then. And I remember sitting in my daddy's house, mom and daddy's house. Remember it this plainly. I was eating a bowl of total cereal at the table with my daddy. When they pulled up into the yard, Brother Perry, him and his two brothers, he blowed the horn, and I got mad. I said, doggone it, I forgot about it. And I said, I'm not going with them. My daddy looked at me, and he said something that haunts me even till today. He looked at me, and he said, son, didn't you promise them you'd go? And I said, yes, sir, I did. And he said, don't you think that it's about time you learn to be a man of your word?
Amen.
And boy, that cut me deep when my daddy said that. And I got up mad at my daddy, mad at them, mad at life, and went and got out in the car to go to church with them, pouting all the way because I didn't want to go.
Amen.
And when the church they took me to, now you got to understand, I'm thinking we're going to have quiet church. And we walked into this little old church, and it said Baptist on the sign, but it might as well have been holiness. And we walked in, and they cranked up, and buddy, they started going to church.
Amen.
By the second song, they sang that song that's in the church hymnal, I Know My Name Is Written There.
Amen.
And about halfway through the second verse, Sister Ari Carr always sat in the middle of the second pew on this side. If there wasn't anybody on the pew, she's going to get dead in the middle of it. I don't know why she just did. That was her song, and I didn't know that. But about halfway through the second verse, she stood up and she had a handkerchief in her hand like I got. And I'm sitting toward the back near the wall, and I'm thinking to myself, that brother said, what is this old biddy about to do? And I had never seen anybody get up, you know, in the middle of a service. And she started walking out. And by the time she got to the end of the pew, now I'm not going to do this loud, but buddy, she did it loud. She would make your ears go, whoo! But she got about to the end of the pew, she had her handkerchief up, and she was doing like that. And I'm saying, man, what is all this about? And about the time she got there, the Lord hit her. And when he did, she just drawled back like this and said, whoo! Except she was about 20 times louder than that. Took two or three more steps, he hit her again, Brother Wayne, right? And she went, oh! And I'm in the back and I'm going, oh, God! I'm in one of them churches, oh, Lord. And if it wasn't bad enough, brother, all of a sudden another one got up and got into doing it. And then there was two or three of them on the floor at the same time doing it. I said, what is going on? They kind of halfway got restored. Y'all been there and done that, haven't you? They got about halfway restored. That night they didn't have any preaching. They just had singing, that's all they had. And I'm sitting back there. I am in a brand new world. And I'm telling the Lord, Lord, this is absolutely the stupidest, most ignorant, backwoodish people I have ever seen in my life. I was praying. Don't tell me a sinner can't pray. I was praying. I said, God, you get me out of here one time. You won't ever have to do it again. Amen. But now let me tell you something. About halfway during that service, the Lord began to speak to me. And he says, son, I said, you think these folks are stupid, don't you? I said, yeah, you see them too, don't you, God? He said, you think they're ignorant and backwoodish and unlearned? I said, yes, sir, I sure do. The Lord dropped something in my heart, Brother Perry.
Amen.
He said, son, you just listen to me a moment. These people aren't ignorant. They're not stupid. They're not unlearned. They're not backwoodish. They simply have something that you know absolutely nothing about.
Amen.
He said, they know me as my as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You don't.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell y'all something. You're going to hear this again this week. Things happen to me that don't happen to ordinary people. God knows he's dealing with an idiot when he's dealing with me, and he has to do things a little different. That preacher whom I had never met in my life came and stood right before the congregation just like this. Never had laid eyes on the man. And he said, on the authority of God. He said, number one, I don't do this unless God so burdens me to do it.
Amen.
He said, but on the authority of God, he said, there's three people in this congregation. He said, you're lost, damned, and doomed for a devil's hell right now. If you died right now, hell would be your home. Now, let me tell you something, folks. He went on to say this. He said, God has made you so plain to me that if he'd just let me, I could come put my hand on you.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all folks something. Y'all listen to this preacher tonight. I had no idea who the other two were. But I knew who one of them was.
Amen.
One of them was me.
Amen.
And that night they gave the altar call. And I made my way down that side of the building. And I turned. And I hit in an old-fashioned altar.
Praise God.
Now let me tell y'all something. That night, there was a death that took place at that church.
Amen.
Because the old Aaron died.
Amen.
And a new one was born.
Praise
I'm
God.
Telling y'all, I got saved that night. And I ain't been wrapped too tight since. Amen. Everywhere I go, Brother Wainwright, they say, he's a nut. He's a nut. Like Andy Griffith, he's a nut. Andy, he's a nut. Well, I may be a nut, but I'm screwed on to the right boat. Amen. Glory. I don't want to be like I used to be. I don't want to be the same. I'm glad I'm different for you. The Bible said we'd be a peculiar people.
Amen. Amen.
I'm about as peculiar as you get. Amen. Don't holler amen too loud, honey. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something else. I enjoy my salvation.
Amen.
I don't know where we bought into this damnable doctrine that you got to look like you've been dipped in dill pickle juice to be a Christian.
Amen.
I just don't know where it come from. I'm like this. If I can't have fun, I ain't going.
Amen.
I'd stay at home and be pouty-faced or miserable or something. I don't have to drive 2 hours to do it. Somebody help me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to have a good time for Jesus.
Amen.
You know why? Because he's the Lord of my soul.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. I hope you got this tonight.
Amen.
I hope you leave out of this place tonight more keenly aware not to miss those little moments in life.
Amen.
Because they only come by, some of them, they only come by once.
Amen.
They only come by once. And if you miss it, you'll be like Dr. White. One day you'll stand with the tears running down your cheeks and you'll say, I missed the moment.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. And I don't know who's here and who ain't here because I don't know that much about y'all. But some of your church folks missed this moment tonight.
Amen.
You'll tell them about it tomorrow.
Amen.
You'll tell them on their jobs, wherever you see them. But you can't recreate it because it won't come this way again.
Amen.
You say, you ought to see that idiot. Amen. You won't believe what he said. Amen. That's all right. Go tell folks that. I don't care. Go tell them, say, you need to come down to church this week and see this idiot we got down here. I don't care. Because I'm going to preach to them when I get them here.
Amen.
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 You know what I learned a long time ago, Brother Wainwright? If you can get somebody laughing, you can tell them their feet stink a whole lot better than you can if they're mad at you. Amen. Well, glory. Folks get to laughing and cutting up and carrying on, and you just slip the gospel right in. And some of you will be halfway home tonight before you realize I preached to you. Amen. But don't miss life's little moments. Some of you are so wound up and so caught up in the zigzagging stress of life.
Amen.
Some of you, now I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't know you. I haven't talked to Brother Wainwright. Hadn't asked what to preach on, what not to do. I wouldn't listen to him if he tried to tell me anyway. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of you have laughed more tonight than you have in the last 6 months.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if that's the case, shame on you. See, because life is to be enjoyed.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Oh me! Amen. Life is to be enjoyed. What is it about life that's just so horrible that you've lost your ability to laugh?
Amen.
You've lost your smile. You know where revival begins at? It begins with God's people learning how to laugh again.
Amen. Amen.
And don't take life so serious. You know, I'm going to tell this one story, and I'm going to try my best to shut it down. God's blessed me to do a lot of things in life. I've had a lot of successes in life. God's been good to me. I was a plant manager up at one of the plants in LaGrange while I was bivocational in the ministry before God brought me out and put me full time. And I was the head man. The only ones that was above me was the two owners of the company. And I got to feeling my oats one day, Brother Wainwright.
Amen.
And I knew I was the best thing since sliced bread, you know. And I got a little cocky with one of the owners. And he brought me in his office. And he set me down. He said, "You think you're a pretty important fellow around here, don't you?" I said, "Oh, yes, I do." He said, "You think this place can't run without you, don't you?" I said, "Well, probably couldn't." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "You keep on with that attitude," said, "you're going to find out how important you are." And he said, "Now let me just leave you a little hint about how long you're going to be missed when I fire you." He said, "Now you take a bucket of water." He said, "If you keep going that way," he said, "you just take your bucket of water." And said, "You stick your hand down in that bucket of water." And he said, "Then you snatch your hand out and you look at the hole that it leaves behind." And he said, "Just about how long there's a hole there will be just about how long you're missed when you're gone."
Amen.
You know what? I lightened up a whole lot after that, brother. I figured out I wasn't irreplaceable.
Amen.
I figured out life wasn't worth the big hassle so much. Just have a good time.
Amen.
Have a good time.
Amen.
Don't miss the little moments of life. Now, let me get real serious. How many of you have been guilty of missing the little moments lately?
Amen.
It may be a job situation. It may be a family situation. It may be a church situation. It might be a health situation. I don't know what it is. And what it is not important. What's important tonight is you hear me say this. Quit missing the little moments.
Amen.
Re-engage in life. Get a smile back on your face.
Amen.
Cause somebody else to smile. Amen. Lift somebody else's load. I want every eye in the building on me for about 2 seconds here. I want you to watch me do something and I want you to respond to it normally. Look what you're doing. Every one of you laughing and grinning. You know how hard that was for me to do? All I had to do was go. And it brought a smile to your face.
Amen.
How long since you've brought a smile to somebody else's face? Quit being so self-centered. Quit being so wrapped up in yourself that you can't realize there's other folks who need you to be a blessing to them.
Amen.
Don't miss life's little moments. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. Never has been about me. Never will be. Never been about you. Never will be. It's always been about the finished work of Calvary.
Amen.
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 Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I've enjoyed being with you today. Glory.
Amen.
Amen. But I just wonder now, as every head's bowed, every eyes closed through the building. I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. I mean, it was that, Brother Aaron, whew, I'm laughing, had a good time tonight, but that did hit me because I've been missing life's little moments. Amen. God bless you. Uplifted hand. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 Just about everybody in the building. We all are guilty of it. Wonder would there be one person under the sound of my voice, Brother Aaron, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Pray for me. Just pray for me, preacher. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for the privilege you've given me to be here this day and to share your word. Father, such a poignant truth you've given us tonight, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God, don't miss the little moments that you send our way. God, help us not to be so caught up in ourselves and our own problems that we fail to laugh and to lighten somebody else's load along the way and cause them to laugh, Lord. God, I pray, Father, you'd send a revival of your sweet spirit in this place that would cause these people to smile again, Lord, and to laugh again, and to not take it so serious, God. Lord, just help them to set a little loose in the saddle and lighten up. And God, to enjoy you again, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you told us in your word that laughter does us good like a medicine, Lord. And God, would you just give us a good dose of laughter tonight, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
God, that we might be healed. Now, Lord, for every hand that was raised, I lift it to you now. And I pray, Father God, that you'd work in every situation.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, as we go into this altar call time, have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Now, while they just slip around with a song of invitation, I want to encourage you tonight. Now, you see, I don't know you. I can come preach to you this way because I don't know you.
Amen.
But I want to encourage you to examine your own heart and your own life. And almost every hand, in fact, I'd say every hand in this building went up and said,
amen.
I've been not laughing lately. I've been taking life too seriously. I've just been it's all been balled up lately. I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to understand what it is that caused you to raise your hand.
Amen.
And I want you to come around an altar and I want you to give it to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Lord, I want you to say this. Lord, it's had me to the point I can't laugh. I can't enjoy things. And Lord, just tonight I'm going to come give it to you and I'm not going to take it home with me, Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to leave it in that altar.
Amen.
And I'm going to find joy again in my walk with you.
Amen.
Brother Perry, would you stand there up front? Altar is open. That's my encouragement to you tonight. Just find you a place in this altar and give whatever's been causing you to be miserable. Give it to God. And let him do something with it. While we stand and sing, what's your number, my brother?
349.
349, this altar's open. You come. You obey God right now. Would you do that? Right now, find you a place in this altar and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Come now. Come. You don't have to even wait on the singing. Come on now.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling us and for me. Sing aboard, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Calling, oh sinner,
I'm about to take my seat, but just before I do, let me encourage you this. Now, Brother Wainwright will close the service as the Lord so leads him. But if you did not find you an altar here tonight, whether you do it here or whether you do it at home, wherever God may lead you to do it, find you an altar of prayer and say, God, that crazy preacher was crazy, but he was right. And God, I got to give you what's got my joy. And God, I can't have my joy back until I give it to you. So I'm giving it to you. And get your joy back for Jesus. God bless you, brother.
We thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord, that we can have to come and give that back to you, what's bothering us in our life and holding us back from the misery, Lord. God, that you have given us the opportunity, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for it. God, we just pray tonight that your children will realize, Lord, what they are missing, that part of heaven that we can live on earth, the joy and the peace that we can have that you will give us. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, that you might bless each one, that you might follow through with this message tonight, Lord, that each one of us will realize as we make the steps down the road into life, Lord, that we can all be free, Lord.
Yes.
So help us tonight to understand. Bless your house of prayer, Lord. Each and everything that is said and done, mighty for thy glory. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it all. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God's so good to us. I know that you've heard a good message tonight. Realize what